Warning, the radio broadcast you're about to hear was made by men and for men. It may at times seem a little rough around the edges, brash, and certainly not canonically approved by papal authority. But its content may indeed challenge you to become the man, father, or husband God has called you to be. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to another week of The Obligation. My name is Jason Murphy. So glad you are here. We are making our way towards the fourth Sunday of Lent, Laetare Sunday. Rejoice. Again, I tell you, rejoice, our Lord tells us. Is the nice little respite in the midst of our penances and prayer. It's a very similar to the third Sunday of Advent. It's a time where we are reminded what we are preparing for, what we are doing our penances for. And, just a gentle reminder, if you haven't started anything, it's never too late to start. And if you've missed a few, broken those promises, it's okay to pick back up and keep going. You know, our Lord fell three times on his way to the cross. So if we don't do perfectly with our penances, it is okay. We can get back up and keep going. But the goal is to keep going. Joining you today, once again, from the Carolina Catholic Media Studio on North Tryon Street, we have Chris Pressler behind the glass. Very thankful to have you. How are you doing out there, Chris, today?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here with you to record another spectacular edition of The Obligation, and looking forward to the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas coming up this weekend.
That's
right. Got a lot of great speakers coming up for that, mm-hmm. and also a great MC with Kevin Spaulding. We had him.
Yeah, easy. Don't let the cat out of the bag just yet.
That's right. We had him as a great guest on Faith and Sport last week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So he's old hat. He's old hat around here in these humbled abode here of these wood paneled walls of the Carolina Catholic Media Studio. So we are getting closer. And once again, men, I have said it numerous times. If you're do one thing, just try and do one thing well this Lent. Take it and do it well. And if that one thing happens to be going online and getting your ticket for the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas, get out there and do it. Stop standing in the shadows. Stop playing small. It's time to play big. Our Lord expects more. Our families expect more. Our church expects and needs more men to step up and step into the breach. I'm super excited about our guest coming up today. He is very familiar with the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas, been around quite a few years, and this year he's going to be stepping in and acting as our Master of Ceremonies. He's got connections with one of our other speakers, Scott Wieman, as well as Charles Frawney, author Charles Frawney of Slaying Dragons. Excited to have him here. He is a Navy veteran. He spent numerous hours flying on and off aircraft carriers. He is a business coach, a husband, a father, and as I said, the MC for the upcoming Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas. Kevin Spaulding, welcome to The Obligation.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. We finally got it. We made it. It took a little while to get us cranking up this morning, but we're here. I think we might have all missed our cups of coffee there, but yeah, we're back on it, and we are cranking it out. So, we're very excited to have you. I know we're going to be joining you coming up Friday night. We're going to have all our speakers together. And really excited about the men's conference. For those out there who are not familiar with you, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you are from around here, at least for a little while. But you also have some connections to some previous speakers, Father Larry Richards. Mm-hmm. We were talking about before we came on air. So just introduce yourself to our audience.
All right, thank you, Jason. Yeah, I am actually from. I say I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania, which for those who have been around for a while, Father Larry Richards, who was a speaker at the first couple of conferences, was from Erie, Pennsylvania, and is a pastor of a church there, and taught at the local Catholic high school for boys and called Cathedral Prep. And that was a school that I went to for about 6 weeks as a ninth grader.
6 weeks, all right.
And then I was expelled from Cathedral Prep for no fault of my own. Yeah, right. Well, in fairness, my parents took me on a family weekend, a three-day weekend, and I had to miss school on Friday, come back on Monday. The school said that's not an acceptable reason for an absence. You're out of here. So 14-year-old ninth grader, I didn't have a whole lot of choice.
That's right.
Well, when the first men's conference happened and Father Larry was a speaker, he got up there and he gave his first message. And as part of his message, he talked about how he personally had a bit of a problem with anger. Mm-hmm. And I went, okay. And then on the first break, I walked up to him, kind of behind him, tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, hey, Father, I got thrown out of cathedral prep by a guy who had a bigger problem with anger than you do. And he just looked at me. And I said, Monsignor O'Donnell. And he went, whoa. One who had been a headmaster, I'm sure Father Larry at least heard of him because he was along in age when he was headmaster in my ninth grade year. And I'm 68. So, but at any rate, that was kind of a good connection. I very much enjoyed Father Larry.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the things that's really stuck with me since Father Larry, who I was not that familiar with when the first conference started, back in, I guess, 2010, when we got it, you know, off the ground, you know, one of the things he said, and it's just stuck with me, and it's almost there every morning, is before his feet hit the floor, his knees hit the floor. And I thought that was really powerful, and it's actually helped me to get out of bed. But my bed's a little higher, so I think I've got to be real careful about that, because I'll be seeing the orthopedic surgeon there pretty soon if I you know, hit those knees. So I've got to, as easily as I can, I make it to my knees. But yeah.
And he used to say, "No Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no bed."
That's it. Yeah, great words. Yeah, Father Larry, he's been with us a couple years, and I'm sure he'll be back at some point. But very powerful. Men really flock over there to see Father Larry. So. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit how you made your way to Charlotte. I know, you know, via Erie, Pennsylvania, and all points in between.
Well, as I said, I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania. I spent 4 years in Happy Valley as a Nittany Lion, graduate of Penn State. And then
during the Jopa years, I'm sure, right? Yeah.
Jopa was long in the tooth when I was there.
Yeah.
But all kidding aside, and a little bit the face side, and I'll share a little bit about this on Saturday, but as I finished high school, I was very involved in my faith and had gone on a young people's retreat that really helped rekindle my own faith. And then when I got to college, I was introduced to and got connected with a group called Campus Crusade for Christ, which is more of an evangelical organization. And I found myself migrating to the evangelical world and away from the church. Throughout college, and then in fact even worked with Campus Crusade for a little bit after college. After that ended, I wound up joining the U.S. Navy. It was one of those where I kind of wanted to fly, so I wound up throwing my hat in the ring as a candidate to become a naval flight officer, and then I also needed a job, so I thought that was a good combination. And I joined the Navy. And as a matter of fact, I was going to maybe share it on Saturday, but during that time, I went through Aviation Officer Candidate School. Now, if you ever saw the old movie Officer and a Gentleman, that movie was a documentary, let me tell you.
Okay.
And I do recall one time in the evangelical world, we were schooled in making our 3-minute testimony. And so I knew how to be able to do that. And I found myself doing that, standing in front of Staff Sergeant May, Shasta States Marine Corps, staring into infinity, speaking only in third person at a rather high decibel level. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I could identify with Peter and folks who were before the Sanhedrin. I very much had that feeling walking out. Well, at any rate, I became a naval flight officer in what's called the E-2C Hawkeye. Okay. It's a funny-looking airplane, twin-engine turboprop carrier-based with a big, flat, flying saucer radar dome on top. We had two bus drivers, I mean pilots up front, and then I was one of three naval flight officers. Each of us had a radar scope in the back, and simply put, my job was to tell fighter pilots where to go. And then after that, I got involved more in IT program management and ultimately retired from the reserve side as a Navy captain.
Okay.
And the good news is I get a check even if I don't get out of bed in the month every morning. So that's pretty sweet.
Nice.
When I finished my squadron tour, I did meet and married a young lady out in San Diego, and she was at least on paper Catholic, so I figured, okay, well, maybe I'll show up at a Catholic church again. And unfortunately, that marriage didn't last very long. And then not long after that, I met and with an annulment in hand, married my now wife, and we've been married for coming up on 33 years now.
Oh, great.
So, and then I got out of the Navy and wound up in San Diego, then moved to Annapolis, Maryland, where I worked on a large Navy project until about 2006, and then moved down here in 2007 and starting my own a little more business coaching, consulting, and did some full-time consulting on the road for a while. Of course, consultant just means white-collar looking for a job. But,
okay.
And then... but since Anne, it was very much more a practicing active Catholic. She and I have really grown in our Catholic faith and really more fully embraced the sacraments in our marriage. And we moved here to North Carolina about 15 years ago.
Beautiful. No, that's great. Along the way, I guess at some point you... You decided to do some audio reading, right? You know, with Charles Franny, I mentioned there's a connection.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, how that started was a bunch of years ago, I found a website. It's a Christian website out of Michigan called CCEL, Christian Classics Ethereal Library. And if it was public domain Christian, it was there, everything from early church fathers and then even, of course, through Protestant stuff. And I was reading something, and all of a sudden I looked, and there was an MP3. And I'm like, what's that about? Hmm. And so I started listening to it, and I'm like, this sounds like a housewife at her kitchen table. And I pulled the thread and asked, and they said, well, we want, you know, volunteer. If you want to do something, I'm like, okay, maybe I can do this. So I got a little digital voice recorder and started recording some things. In fact, the first thing I did was the Rule of St. Benedict. And then that's how I learned sort of the process of how to be able to, quote, narrate an audio book. And then later, I guess about 7-8 years ago now, there was a physician at our church by the name of Dr. Marty Damore, and he was in the final throes of Lou Gehrig's disease, and he had written a book called Joy and Suffering, My Life with ALS.
Okay.
And I turned around and I reached out to him and I said, Marty, if you would be willing, I would love to give you a voice and create an audio book of this. Not really knowing what I was offering, but he agreed. So I got professional level equipment and produced that audio book. And then since then, I connected with St. Benedict Press, Tan Books, Kevin Gallagher over there, and they were wanting to start doing some audio books, and so I wound up starting to do audio books for them. I've done other audio books. I now have going on 70 titles available on Audible.
Wow.
And then I forget how long ago it was, 3 or 4 years ago, when Charles had written Slaying Dragons. We knew each other loosely from church circles. Our wives probably knew each other better. Well, he reached out to me and he goes, Kevin, I'd just like to learn about how can I get this into audio? And I just kind of talked about the process and ways he could do it, selecting a narrator and that sort of thing. And then he pretty much turned around and invited me to narrate the book.
That's great. Yeah, that's really great. What speaking of the conferences, how many conferences have you been to? Can you remember? Do you remember when it...
Most all of them.
I
was at the first one, and it's pretty much, okay, in March, when's that going to be? And get it on the calendar.
That's right.
I don't know that I've missed any other than the obvious COVID pieces.
Sure, yeah.
I certainly look forward to them.
Yeah, no, it's great. I love, you know, seeing all the men together. It's such an important day throughout our year. We hope to kind of re-enkindle that flame, and not just for one day, just so they can, you know, continue, you know, make that connection, see the other men that are striving, that are working, you know, putting in the work to be better fathers, be better husbands, be better Catholics, and go back in the world, but also to, you know, continue to stay in touch and support each other. I think it's very important.
Well, I was going to, back to the first couple ones when Father Larry was there, he had written a book called Be a Man.
Mm.
And I just remember at that time was a time when I was literally commuting out of town by air every week.
Okay.
So I was home on the weekend. And he was talking about that book. And I got a copy of that book and actually got a hold of about 3 or 4 other guys at my church. And we would meet on a regular basis and talk about, take a chapter at a time to go through that book, because I was looking at it as an accountability thing for me, because I was spending 5 nights a week in a hotel that has the potential to not be the healthiest thing.
Sure.
I mean, I did other things. I found Toastmasters clubs, and at one point I even took some acting lessons, which was kind of fun.
All right.
So that I was doing at least healthier things. But that was a key thing to helping keep me accountable while I was on the road.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think for me, I've gotten away from my reading like I should, But maybe I need to go into the audiobook club because I think that would maybe give me a reason to be able to read more, kind of force my hand at it. So, yeah, so that's a great.
Well, I've got quite a few good Catholic titles that I've done, although I do a lot of military history and biographies as well. Neat. But, yeah, and let me tell you, when I read a book, I get very intimate with that book by the time I'm done. And it's really been learning a lot and exposed to a lot of people that I really didn't know about prior to.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. A wide variety there, you know, all the different variety there, you know, going from St. Benedict to military. And, I mean, of course, those two can be kind of, probably see some similarities there, just one taken to a spiritual level and, you know, just that form, that order, of course.
Yes.
Know, coming out of the Navy. I mean, that's...
Well, certainly the discipline that military people live under, because we have to practice things regularly so that, you know, dare I say, when the defecation hits the ventilation, you're able to do it just from muscle memory.
That's right. Yeah, that is, and that's a project we're working on here in Charlotte. A group of guys and myself, we are working on something called the Martyr's Walk, and that's it's going to kind of be revealed at the men's conference. And that is going to kind of be a shock to the system, same thing, to give that knee-jerk reaction, kind of a intensive Catholic boot camp, if you will, that when, you know, not necessarily when an opportunity for martyrdom comes, blood martyrdom I'm speaking, because, you know, obviously that's highly unlikely for most guys out there, even though in today's world it's not impossible. But the small martyrdoms, the little martyrdoms each day, you know, when the little sins come, the temptations come, the little pop-ups on the screen, the ex-girlfriend comes a-calling, or whatever, those little martyrdoms that, you know, we must be aware of that can affect our families and our spiritual life. So we're going to be putting that together. It's going to be a three-day intensive boot camp. There's going to be kind of a Ignatian retreat meets Marine Corps boot camp, smashed together, testing guys in some of the most difficult spiritual and physical and mental exercises they probably have ever been there. So it could leave an impression, you know, make that mark, you know, and a little mark there so that when something comes along, it will be that knee-jerk and they'll be ready to go, like a soldier's ready to go.
Well, let's look at history a little bit and then look at today. Today, we live such lives of leisure.
Oh, yes.
I mean, even in places of the world that aren't necessarily as affluent as we are, but as human beings, we live lives of leisure. Look at the books of history. They didn't tend to live that long, and they lived a much more physical, demanding existence and lifestyle than we have today. Mm-hmm. And with that comes a softness. I mean,
that's right.
You can even roll it back as far as we refer to it as the greatest generation. Last summer, I had the privilege of, my wife gave me permission to do a bucket list trip and walk the sands of Normandy. Mm-hmm. When I think about the young men that stormed that beach, and they were all men,
sure,
maybe until some nurses came through in the next day or so. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they did that. And talk about into the face of danger and also entirely physically demanding. And, oh, by the way, I know one guy who was on wave one at 0630 in Omaha Beach.
Wow.
And he wound up not being released from his unit until he met the Soviets in Czechoslovakia 3.5 years later.
Mm.
So it was one of those where it wasn't just D-Day.
Yeah, sure. Wow. Well, we are, I think, coming up on our first break. We're going to jump off. We're talking to Kevin Spaulding, the upcoming Master of Ceremonies for the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas on March 18th at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church, and we'll be right back. Hi, everyone. It's Jason Murphy for the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas and the Obligation Radio Show here on the Carolina Catholic Media Network. Registration is now open for the 13th annual Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas to be held on March 18th, 2023 at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church. It's going to be an amazing day of faith, fellowship, and prayer. Of course, we'll be joined, as always, by our own Bishop Peter Jugas of the Diocese of Charlotte. We also have a great lineup of speakers, including Charles Frawney. Charles is the author of Slaying Dragons, What Exorcists See and What We Should Know. He's going to be there to discuss spiritual warfare. Also joining us, Jonathan Fanning. He is an author, speaker, an entrepreneur, and a father. Coming to us from High Point, North Carolina, the Diocese of Charlotte, is Deacon John Clark. Deacon is a former SWAT officer and former MMA fighter. You won't want to miss this one. Scott Wieman is going to be another one of our speakers. He is with Catholic in Recovery. He's going to talk to us about addiction and recovery for Catholics. And our MC this year will be Kevin Spaulding. Kevin is a speaker, an author, and business life coach. You can go online now to www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org. Make sure to use the promo code RADIO and save $5. We look forward to seeing you there on this awesome day full of faith, fellowship, and prayer. For the Catholic Men's Conference, Carolinas, The Obligation Radio Show, my name is Jason Murphy. God bless, and esto vir.
Did you know that 90% of older adults wish to stay in their home as they age? Aging in place has many benefits. It tends to improve quality of life, which in return improves physical health. Also, retaining independence as we age is critically important to our mental health. Hi, my name is Meredith Dignan, and I am the president of Harmony Home Solutions and an active parishioner of St. Patrick Cathedral. We are your trusted partner for aging in place. We strive to enhance the lives of older adults and their families by providing premier aging-in-place and universal design lifestyle solutions that increase safety beautifully. Now is the time to get your aging-in-place plan in order with Harmony Home Solutions. Visit our website today at hhsclt.com. Again, that's hhsclt.com. Or give us a call at 980-220-8821. Again, that's 980-220-8821. We want to help you live an empowered and beautiful life.
And we're back. My name is Jason Murphy. You're listening to The Obligation, and I am sitting down with Kevin Spaulding, business coach, Navy veteran, father, husband, and master of ceremonies for the upcoming Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas. Kevin, thanks again for joining us here at the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you, and look forward to seeing you for the men's conference. I know the men are ready. I'm seeing the little ticket tailor number each day. It's getting higher and higher, not as high as I'd like. I sit there on the edge of my seat, checking daily, checking hourly to see where it is. But guys are just, we like to wait to the last minute, don't we?
Yes. Well, I've been encouraging a lot of guys. Some have even asked me, well, can I just show up and buy a ticket? I said, well, yeah, but let me tell you, you get this box lunch from Panera Bread, hey, and it makes it a lot easier for the logistics.
Exactly.
I mean, they'll make some accommodations, yeah, but it really helps the organization, and they acknowledge that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Come as you are, when you can. If you come halfway through, we'll get you in. Can't guarantee a lunch, but you know, if you come to the door, we will find a spot for you. There will definitely be some space available, and just can't promise that you'd have a lunch. But yeah, we'd love to have you. You can go online right now. Tickets are still available to www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org. You can even use that promo code RADIO, save $5 for that next cup of coffee, even though that might just be a deposit on a cup of coffee these days because it is going up like everything else. But Kevin, tell us, so you're a business coach. Tell us about some of that experience and kind of, you know, when that kind of took off and how that ties in with some of the coaching, because, you know, as a father, as a husband, we do a lot of coaching, you know, that kind of interrelates as well.
Yes, yes. Well, as a retired military officer in a military career, you learn a little bit about leadership and a lot of business ownership, et cetera, leadership piece. And dare I say the more commonly used phrase, the soft skills that go along with that. Mm-hmm. There is also the business side. For years, I have been a personal investor. And even working professionally, I've had to manage projects with budgets, etc. So I'm not a stranger to accounting. I sometimes like to say I know enough accounting to be dangerous, but I have gotten some certifications in that area. And so when I finished the military stint and the other project where I was basically helping with organizational change management to implement software across a very large part of the Navy organization, that I looked at the option, and I had encountered the idea of business coaching, and I said, yeah, that makes sense. And I joined an organization, Professional Business Coach Alliance, PBCA. They're headquartered out of Ohio, and it was a network of professional business coaches that had their own internal certification and networks. And then from that, started working with some business owners, small business owners, because as one of my clients once told me, he says, Kevin, nobody can tell me what to do here. I own the place. That's why I hired you. Because I can have it sit there and have a frank discussion with somebody and lay through. And what I've learned in most situations, the business owners know what to do. They need somebody, for lack of a better way to say it, to hold them accountable. It's like, okay, we'll say, okay, we'll go through. And yes, I bring methodologies and processes, et cetera, as well. But we'll talk through a scenario and get done. And okay, by next week, by 2 weeks, whatever, you're going to do A, B, and C. We'll get together in 2 weeks. Oh, did you get A, B, and C done? Yeah, great. Super. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. We understand life happens. But the point is, you made the promise to me, granted you're paying me to come back, but to look another human being in the eye and say, I did or I didn't, that accountability piece is very powerful. And that applies even to something like the men's conference. Sure. You know, we show up here, we're going to see people we know, we're going to see some people we don't know. How's it going? How's your Lenten journey going? And there's a sense for, you know, we want to be honest about it, and that personal accountability that ultimately leads us to better performance.
That's right. Yeah, the accountability, that is so important. I mean, I find that, you know, with just a few small group of friends I call brothers, that, you know, if something is going on, you know, in life or in business or in the family, that I can bounce it off. I know that they're working, they're doing the grind, they're living the faith, and it goes both ways. You know, there'll be times where I'm struggling, and he's going to be, or you know one of them's going to be the Simon of Cyrenian for me, and sometimes I'm going to be that Simon, and we're going to have to trade crosses there every now and again, and it's good to have, and we definitely need more of that. You know, the times in my life when I didn't have other men I could depend on, that's when I started to isolate. You know, start to pull back. You know, we'd start to, you know, just become a Bear Wozniak. He made a statement. I think a lone wolf. He says, you know, a lone wolf is a has-been. You know, once you start pulling out, you know, we might think that we're a tough guy. We might think that we're out looking for ourselves and protecting our own. But in a sense, when we're pulling away, we're not really fulfilling the duties that we're called to. Because in the small ways and in the large ways, we're called to evangelize. And that accountability factor, that brotherhood that we try and create, or try to at least spark that fire, bringing the men together. I know that in years past, we've done a better job at trying to keep some ongoing events so that guys can come back together. Because it's tough. We do. We get pulled away, become islands. You know, we think we're self-sustaining, and we kind of drift off. And when we drift off, you know, there's not much accountability. And, mm-hmm. You know, our wives will do what they can. Well, honey, you should sign up for the men's conference. But we know better. But we know better sometimes. But yeah, just kidding there. We don't know better. And it's behind every good man is certainly a good woman there pushing and supporting. What about you on a personal level, on your prayer life, on your band of brothers? You know, are you have some groups that you regularly meet with, that you're able to pray with or have support? Or
well, yeah, I have wonderful connections through my own church community, very good friends. Good. We do a lot of social events. My wife is a wonderful hostess, and we commonly do potlucks kinds of things at our church at our house after church.
Sure.
Easter, we generally do a big event. And then also, with my pastor's encouragement, about, I guess, a year and a half ago, we started up a group that we call the Fellowship of the Ring.
Okay.
The ring referring to a cigar ring gauge. Uh-huh. And so maybe on a once-a-month basis, I mean, we're on pause during Lent here, there's three or four of us that may host it. We'll send out a note and invite men from the parish, and usually our pastor and at least one of the deacons comes as well. And it's enjoy cigars around an outdoor fire. Somebody may bring a libation or two. I personally don't drink, but I'll have seltzers there, sure. Some bar snacks. And it really has, all kidding aside, been wonderful, good conversation. It doesn't degrade into the adolescent conversation you might think. Sure. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
And we have really been encouraging to each other. And it's a cross-section. We have young folks. We have some boys that are, I say boys, I mean they're 20-ish. And then we have a number of fathers of small children. And then, you know, I'm there as an empty nester. So we have a great cross-section, okay, of experience and encouragement for each other.
That's great. And what parish are you with?
St. Michael in Gastonia.
Oh, Father Rossi.
Yes.
Great Father Rossi. Yes. Actually, he was at St. Patrick's when he was a seminarian. That was his station one summer, or maybe a couple summers. And we had to drive down to Clover, South Carolina, and pick up a Lazy Boy chair for Father Roo. So we had a good time there that day, I remember. And I've kept in touch with Father Rossi. I actually spoke to him the other day. Such a humble, you know, great priest. So enjoy hearing from him. And he was filling me in that they've actually doing almost a everyday mass for the school there. Is what I
yes.
heard.
Well, it's
almost every day.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Wednesday they do an evening mass.
Yeah, that's
in
great.
Fact, I just came from mass this morning before our, obviously we're pre-recording this, but before our interview this morning.
Sure. Yeah. So that's great. I'm glad. Is Father able to join the fellowship? What do we call it?
We call it Fellowship of the Ring.
Fellowship of the Ring.
As in ring gauge.
Sure, yeah.
And Father, I mean, he enjoys coming. I mean, he enjoys cigars.
Yeah, sure.
And it truly is a wonderful evening. It'll go from 6:37 till about 10 on a weekday night.
Great. Yeah, that's good to have. And especially the guys, you know, with the younger sons, you know, they're still have the boys around, you know, seeing the men can get together and have Catholic fellowship, you know, just because, you know, there might be an adult beverage there, or it might be cigars. It doesn't, it's not taboo, you know, that's part of our faith and our fellowship.
Yeah. We're looking for adult sons. This is not a 15, 16-year-old thing.
That's
this
right.
is.
Yeah. But that's good. You know, it's good for the men, even the, you know, the 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, because I know for me, I did not have that. So, you know, that would have been a great thing as a son to join the father and kind of see, you know, that development and that participation outside of church. Because so many times we kind of just peg it there. It's just a Sunday thing. And we see father on Sunday. And, you know, on the other side of that, you know, the people think really that the priests are so busy that they don't have time. But the priest... you know, they love that fellowship. They love to be a part and integrate with the men of, of their parishes. It's really an act of charity, because a lot of times they are very alone there. And I know many times, you know, people assume that they have Easter plans or Thanksgiving plans. And I know many times where we've invited them over the years because they didn't have anyone, because no one thought, because everyone thought, oh, well, they must have plans. So he's the priest. So that's great.
Well, we also have Father Rossi's mother is in the church.
Okay.
There. So
all right.
She's there every week.
Oh, well, that certainly helps. I know you have a couple of adopted children.
Yes. Yes. As I, Ann and I, she has a son. She was married before as well. And my stepson, who is in his early 40s now, He was six when we met, about eight when we got married. And then Ann and I wound up adopting two children from the former Soviet Union.
Okay.
And our son, who is now 27, is from Tbilisi, Georgia, former Soviet Republic, just on the north side of Turkey. And then our daughter, Julia, she is from Ekaterinburg, Russia, which is about 2 hours by air straight east of Moscow.
Okay.
And I went by myself to get Martin, and he turned 4 months old with me in a hotel room in February in Moscow. And let me tell you, February in Moscow is cold with a capital C. Now get ready to take a 3-4-month-old baby out into that. It takes some some dressing up, because we had to go through Moscow to do the immigration paperwork and all that sort of thing. And then when it came to Julia, I remember telling Anne, I said, I'm not going back to Moscow in the winter. We're going to plan this thing, because the way the process works, you kind of got to start at about 8 months prior to when an actual adoption would happen.
Gotcha.
But they are, as I said, Martin is 27, Julia is 24, and I had the pleasure of walking her down the aisle coming up on 2 years ago over at the Basilica at Belmont Abbey her wedding.
Yeah. Well, I know my sister-in-law, they adopted a little boy from Belarus when he was around 6 years old, so a little bit more difficult transition there.
Yeah.
And I believe he's 26 now, so it's been about 20 years ago. But it was pretty rough conditions, I know, when they went over there, you know, to try to bring him from the orphanage over that way. But
I have a cousin and her husband who adopted boys who were, I think at the time, 6 and 8. I mean, they're now in their probably early 30s, but at about 6 and 8. And they were not siblings, but they were from adjoining, and they were talking about how they were deinstitutionalizing them. Their discipline was they took away their gene privileges. But when I read, you're deinstitutionalizing them. Now, let me get this right. The Army colonel and the Navy lieutenant commander are deinstitutionalizing these children. I had to chuckle about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Dr. Ray Gurundy, you've certainly heard his story. Is it 10 or is it 11?
I think it's 10.
It's 10. 10 adopted children.
Yes.
So he said that, and they've had every opportunity, and that includes from Penn State to State Penn, and they've been in all variety in all areas there. So I always thought that was kind of funny.
I can remember jokingly saying, you know, hey, if you can get through college without medical or law enforcement intervention, call it a win. But
there you go. That's right. Something to strive for. I think we're coming up on our second break. We were talking to Kevin Spaulding. He's going to be our Master of Ceremonies at the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas coming up on March 18th. That is this Saturday, tomorrow, at the time of this airing. And don't forget, you can go online right now, www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org. Use the promo code RADIO, save $5. It will be a wonderful day full of faith, fellowship, and prayer, led by a Mass with Bishop Jugas. We'll have Scott Wieman there from Catholic in Recovery, Jonathan Fanning, author Charles Frawney of Slaying Dragons, who's, you may have heard, our guest here today, Kevin Spaulding, as the audio speaker on his books, and Deacon John Clark up in High Point, North Carolina. He is a former MMA fighter and SWAT officer, so going to be an amazing tale there to hear that story. But we're going to jump off. We'll be right back. Make sure you stick around.
There's a gun and ammunition just inside the doorway. Use it only in emergency.
On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
And we are back. You're listening to The Obligation, joining you from the Carolina Catholic Media studio on North Tryon Street. Chris Pressler working the mix board behind the glass for us today. Appreciate you being here, Chris.
Glad to be here.
Going to make it to the men's conference with us this weekend?
I'm going to try. It's all just right down the street here from the studio, not very far at all.
That's right. St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church right there across the street from UNCC. Registration starting about 7:30, and I think we kick off about 8:30, so we'll go to about 3:30. So some great speakers, rosary, mass, adoration. There'll be confession all day. That's one of my favorite times, Kevin, is seeing those men pile into the confessional, seeing some of those potential big fish getting landed by those priests, because a lot of guys, they just kind of get out of the habit there and get comfortable where they are. We talked about that earlier, just being comfortable.
Yeah. And who knows, depending on what speaker somebody's listening to, some trigger gets tripped because of something a speaker said that, maybe something to have a conversation with a priest about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I know you're also an author, and, we've got a book here, From Panic to Power. That sounds like the spiritual life. That sounds like what I'm going through right now. I'm trying to make it to power. So tell us a little bit about the Panic to Power.
Well, my book, From Panic to Power, and the subtitle is Simple Yet Powerful Techniques to Develop the Public Speaking and Presentation Skills You Need to Succeed. Got that out in one breath. It's a book that I wrote a number of years ago, and then I refreshed it a couple of years ago with some more material, cleaned up some typos, etc. And I have been a speaker for quite a while. As I've mentioned earlier, I'm a retired naval officer, so let's be real. In that world, you've got to be able to stand up with a few slides and talk to your boss about what you're doing for a living.
That's right.
But beyond that, I know I have some basic innate skills in that area. And I also joined an organization called Toastmasters, which I highly recommend for anyone. It's a great way to basically develop your public speaking, communications, and by extension, leadership skills. And I got involved in that. And then back in 2006, when I wrote this book the first time, I wrote it because as I looked around, and Lord knows there's enough books on public speaking, I didn't really see any that addressed the fear issue. Mm. And so I chose to write it a little more from that perspective. No, I'm not a psychologist. I don't play one on TV. But I did play a doctor on stage once, but that's another story. All kidding aside, I wrote this in a very conversational tone so that a high school student could read it and get a lot out of it. Great. I've also had seasoned marketing professionals tell me they've gotten a lot out of the book. And I write it in a very simple voice, a very conversational tone. And then at the end of each chapter, I've also got some review questions to kind of put to work what you've just learned, because you need to reinforce what it is you've learned going through. And I'm going to have copies of these available at the men's conference this weekend. And then I also have an audio CD that I have that was made with three of my initial public speaking mentors. All of those guys are at least five-figure public speakers. Wow. and a wonderful resource. And I will be having these available at the conference. And then at the end of the day, I'm going to turn over the proceeds of all those sales to Carolina Catholic Media.
So oh, that's great. We really appreciate that.
It's something where I personally am retired. So I'm at the point where whatever I got coming in from an earned income standpoint is allocated to charity, except what I siphon off for good cigars. Well, and I do like good cigars.
Well, there you go. As every good Catholic man should. But yeah, we appreciate that. Of course, Carolina Catholic Media is a 501c3. Great time for a plug here. Always, you know, grateful for all donations. We go from month to month, day to day, and depend on listeners like you out there. So if you can, you can go online to CarolinaCatholicMedia.org, click that big donate button, and give as little or as much as you are able. And of course, if anything, your prayers are the most important part. So we do appreciate you listening and continuing to support Catholic Radio. I can tell you from someone who is scared to death to publicly speak, I sit here today in front of this microphone, and anyone out there, of course, it's just natural for anyone to say that they're scared. So, but we can't allow that fear to keep us from getting up there. You know, yeah. Certainly we all have something to say, even though I question that myself, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there saying, I don't know about that, Jason, but here we are. Yeah, I've taken a couple of public speaking classes years ago, and was in a leadership development program with the local realtor association, and kind of was a trial by fire kind of situation. Never thought I would have to use that, but kind of like CPR, you don't ever want to use it. But you know, again, here we are, and I guess I do it here, and have, you know, folks out there listening, and of course with the Men's Conference and the Knights of Columbus, it's put me in a position to have to, you know, to speak in front of folks and be comfortable in that, be comfortable in my skin, and that's a tough one, but certainly don't let that hold you back. So yeah, some going from panic to power. So that sounds like a great read there. I'm gonna have to jump into that one and see if I can get some more pointers, because there is still a little fear there as usual. But we talked about Dr. John Acquaviva. You know, he hosts the Faith and Sports show here. I know you were a guest there just recently. I appear there with him every now and again. It's always fun to be with Dr. John. He's a whole lot of fun. And Chris there, he's usually sitting behind the glass, and we have a great old time.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. So Dr. John has written a couple of books. I know one of them, Improving Body Image, and I think you were a part of that as well, right?
Yes, I narrated that one. He wrote that, maybe 4 years ago?
Okay.
And I have, on an ongoing basis, done books for St. Benedict Press, 10 books. And one Saturday afternoon, I was driving around and I heard Dr. John on his show, and he was talking about this book, Improving Body Image with Catholic Teaching. And I thought, gee, that'd be a book I'd kind of like to do. And so I reached out to my contact, Kevin Gallagher, over at St. Benedict Press, and I said, hey, how about that one? And it wasn't one they originally necessarily thought, but he goes, okay. So I wound up producing the audio of that, and I thoroughly enjoyed reading it. And one of the things, and I think I may have shared this with you before we went on the air, but when I narrate a book, the first criteria I have for any book I'm going to narrate, it's got to be a book I genuinely want to read. Mm. Because by the time I get done, I am going to be extremely intimate with that book.
Sure.
It's the equivalent of reading a book at least half a dozen times in fairly short succession.
Yeah.
So it's something that's part of the process. Well, his book, I went through that, and I could find myself looking at even some of the aspects in terms of, you know, my own physicality of having raised one daughter who was also a ballerina, and okay, that whole consciousness of physicality, sure, is very much, and just across the board with young people. But then I look at it, and there's really so much applicability, because we're all guilty of comparison.
Yes.
Whether it's physicality or some other parametric, whether it's financial, whether it's power, whether it's, you know, something else, we're invariably, as humans, comparing ourselves to each other.
That's right.
And the book is good. It's really in two parts. The first half is kind of the book, and then the second half, mm-hmm, is really a script for small group discussions and small group work, which even he would recommend for, it wouldn't go below age 16, but age 16 up would make a great work book for a small group discussion.
Yeah, you mentioned the comparison there and the problems in doing so. A good friend of mine, John Eads, who was also one of our previous speakers, and he actually was a co-host with me here on the Carolina Catholic Media Network when we first got started with the obligation. One thing he said, and I don't believe that was his quote, he was probably quoting someone else, but the quote was, "Comparison is the thief of joy."
Yes.
And that has resounded very strongly with me, and it's helped me to really kind of pay attention to that, because we can be very distracted when we start lining ourselves up with other people, because we're, of course, made uniquely, each one of us infinitely uniquely in the image and likeness of God. And when we try to, portray ourselves as someone else, you run into problems there. You really run into some problems, really start to build up resentments, and really miss our whole calling, I think, because we're not paying attention enough to ourselves. And it's kind of funny because last week we had Frank Lingle on, who's a caricature artist, and he'll be at the men's conference as well. And he gratefully did a caricature of me after our talk last week, so that was pretty fun. I haven't had one of those done since I was probably like 8 or 9 years old. I'll have to dig that up. But he did a great one. But we were talking about, caricatures and how, they can sometimes come off the wrong way, because the caricature, the artist, his job really, his part of that art is to see more than what meets the eye. And I think that's a good reminder, because we sometimes we kind of build up this image of ourselves, and sometimes that image of ourselves is based on our interpretation of other people, and we're not really looking closely enough at ourselves. So, seeing those caricatures, kind of an analogy there, seeing something that we're not seeing in ourselves, and we might not like that. We might kick back on that.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Kay?
I think that's absolutely true, because you get another perspective from somebody else. And sort of the quote you threw out there about comparison, the thief of joy, when my brain went to a little bit more on the material side, parallel quote, it's not what you own, it's what owns you.
That's really good.
And that's a big aspect. And comparison is a killer. There's no two ways about that.
That's right. Yeah, and that goes to kind of our theme for this year's men's conference, Quae Quaeris. Who are you looking for? Are you looking for what you perceive, God to be, what you've made him up to be in your head, what it can be to you, the gift giver, the way that you've kind of used him for your own kind of will to get you what you want, or are you seeing him kind of like Judas? We kind of make that comparison. That's a tough one. That's a tough one when we start comparing ourselves to Judas. But I think we all can certainly pause for a moment and consider ourselves in the times that we have turned our back on our Lord and we have sold him out for some guilty pleasure. Or are we looking for him as the king of the universe, the king of the world, who has, created us, uniquely in hopes that we one day will be with him, that joy there. So, who are you looking for? Are you looking for someone you've manifested our Lord to be, or are you looking for, what he has manifested himself to be, just like he manifested himself in the Transfiguration to Peter, James, and John up on the mountain? So definitely some things to consider there. Speaking of the men's conference, Kevin, let's let you close it out. Let's give a call out to these guys and tell them why they should show up on Saturday.
Well, the men's conference is a wonderful organization event where you're going to get a chance to get challenged by four wonderful keynote speakers. You're going to get a chance to attend Mass with the bishop. You're going to get a chance to put yourself in submission before the Blessed Sacrament for a while.
That's right.
Saying a rosary, and a wide open opportunity for you to get to confession. Maybe you'll hear something from one of the speakers that will lead you to say, maybe I need to talk to a priest about this. And above and beyond the content of it, you're going to be there with a few hundred other Catholic brothers who take their faith seriously.
That's right.
And who are going to be there to encourage each other for the most part. And you can be there as an encouragement to others, because just your being there, whether you know people that are there or not, you're going to be an opportunity just by your presence to be encouraging to others that, yeah, there are men that take this seriously. And I'll kind of go one little place, because I know what's going to happen during the Mass, is that when I'm going to hear a few hundred men together saying the Our Father, I mean, to me, that's powerful.
Yeah, can't compare to that. That's beautiful. Yeah, iron sharpens iron. Absolutely. Kevin Spaulding, our upcoming Master of Ceremonies for the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas. Appreciate you coming on The Obligation. And for everyone out there listening, we appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week. God bless and Esto Vir.
If you enjoyed this episode and have any questions or comments or would like to come on the show and discuss your faith walk or any issue regarding the Catholic Church, send us an email at feedback@theobligationshow.com. You can also catch all of our previous episodes and all of the shows of Carolina Catholic Media at www.carolinacatholic.org. Click that donate button and we'd greatly appreciate it. There are also many opportunities to sponsor the show, the radio station, and the Catholic Men's Conference. Join Sensus Fidelium, Harmony Home Solutions, and Wallach Investments, who have pledged their funds to help keep Catholic radio on the air and relevant. Sensus Fidelium is a collection of Catholic homilies, apologetic videos, and other resources to grow in one true faith. They can be found online at www.sensusfidelium.com. Wallach Investment LLC is a strategic moral investing firm committed to placing their clients' interests ahead of their own. Their mission is to be a force of good in their relationships to make the most of their clients' investment, giving them the time and confidence to pursue their mission. Contact Daniel Wallach at www.wallachinvestments.com for more information. For the Obligation Radio Show, the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas, and the Carolina Media Network, my name is Jason Murphy. God bless and Esto Vir.